Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
Middle of the field from 48 yards out of the hole to Patrick O'Donnell. Scales ascend it. Back snap and placement good. Eddie Pinheiro winds it up from 48 yards. The kick is no good. This will be from 47. On the left hash, flat angle right. Snap and placement. Eddie Pinheiro's kick is up. It is no good from 47.
He missed it right.
Takes the snap. Four-man rush with a stunt picked up nicely. Throwing down the right side, incomplete. Mitch has time to throw. It is incomplete off the hands and intercepted by Hill on the far side by the penalty marker.
It's offensive pass interference, so it's going to go to the
Rams. It's going to be an interception for the Rams, and they've taken the ball away. Here's the snap. Four-man rush with a stunt. Trubisky in the pocket. It's going to have to escape. They took a shot at him twice. Trubisky stays alive. Now he's going to eat it, and down he goes. Trubisky in the gun, takes the snap. Four-man rush, lob down the left side, incomplete. Going for Robinson, and that's it from L.A. 17-7, your final score.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
We were trying to get the run game going just a little bit, and it takes time, but we just weren't churning out the yards on first and second down in the run game, and that's a credit to them. That's a good, you know, they're a good defense, and so you know, it was good. That was probably the one good drive that we had, and but we need more of those.
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is a built for tough Bears Monday on The Score. David, did you have a good weekend?
Good morning, Molly. I did. I did have a good weekend.
Good man. You deserve a good weekend.
Was definitely a lot of fun. Then last night happened.
Boy. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Say good morning or is it good night? It's sort of like this is the extended postgame show.
Yes, this is. We're doing a postgame show. The Bears lose yet again. The Bears' winning streak ends at one game. Now they do have the Giants coming up, so I made a vow earlier in the year.
Is that who's next on the schedule?
That's who's next.
Is that who's next?
We're moving on.
What
one
does
in
December
a row.
Look like? Does it matter?
One in a row, David.
Yeah, one in a row. Yeah, not really. I mean, last night, let's face it, all week, we framed it as an elimination game. And in an elimination game, the Bears were kicked out of NFC playoff contention. Simple as that. Simple as that.
They can win 10.
They're not going to win 10.
No, they're not going to.
That's not a team. That's headed anywhere team, but south.
That's not a team built to win 10 in a row.
No. They're, you know,
or six in a row.
This is a built for tough Bears Monday. They're not built for 10 wins.
Well, okay. I you know.
Frustrating night. Another frustrating game. Another perplexing moment that the Bears created and leave us sort of baffled universally. And I think that's the problem with this season so often. It's not so much that they are overmatched, but they're outwitted. And you just don't know what you have anymore, and they could have won that football game, Mully.
I thought in the third quarter that they were heading that way, David, because they kind of took control of the game in the third quarter, and the Rams couldn't get anything together, and I thought, this is sitting there, right? It's right in front of them. The Rams were desperate to give that game away early, and the Bears refused to take it.
Exactly.
And then I thought, okay, the Rams really aren't going to win. They really don't want this. Do the Bears, and boy,
you
that
know,
was disappointing.
17-7, and you cannot really say the Rams won that game as much as the Bears lost it.
Yeah,
I
well,
really
you left 9 points sitting there on the field, so that would have been 16, right?
We can oversimplify and exaggerate, and we probably will do that a lot until 9 o'clock today. But if you have a kicker that is good enough to be on your NFL roster, and he's kicking in ideal conditions in Southern California on a Sunday night in November, and he hits a 48-yarder, and he hits a 47-yarder, and he doesn't scare your coach into going for it, instead of trying a 49-yarder. You're up 9-0, and this is a different football game.
Well,
It's a different game.
I must say, why you would prefer a 4th-and-9 with the way you are playing on offense over a field goal attempt is an indictment on the kicker, on the general manager who brought the kicker in.
Check.
On the entirety of their season. It is the coach would rather go down swinging on 4th-and-9, even though you know he's not going to make it, than attempt the field goal. We've seen that before.
There was an element of I'm smarter than you. I am going to try this. I'm going to go for it rather than kick the field goal because I'm mad at my kicker.
Yes.
We all have seen how bad he is and can be. And then afterward, you're going to say that, oh, yeah, well, that's just Eddie. We wouldn't consider bringing in competition. I would consider leaving him in California.
Jimmy Johnson, yeah.
I mean, really, give the seat to somebody else has earned it.
You fly commercial home and go to wherever you're from.
Pull a Kiffin. Go home, Eddie. I just don't know what they can gain by keeping him on the roster. He now has cost them, in my book, 2 games.
Well,
It's more than that. I understand. Yeah. I understand. It's a 53-man roster. It's a 60-minute game. All those football cliches. If you have got a professional kicker that is doing his job, you beat the Chargers and you beat the Rams.
Well, I'm not going to argue the point, but who brought the guy in? Who made all the decisions? You know, the coach takes kicking personally. He gets really upset about
it. He does.
He got really mad last year, so you had to get rid of that guy. And you brought in these guys, and now he's – I mean, let me ask you this, and okay. I mean this sincerely.
All right.
The guy misses the first field goal.
Yeah.
You skip the second attempt, and then he misses the third one. Did the skipping of the second attempt get in his head as much as the first miss?
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely, Molly. It's 4th-and-9. 4th-and-9.
Unbelievable.
And you decide to go for it. It's like, and I wrote this, and I believe this is like you went up to your kicker.
Yep.
You looked him in the eye and said, nobody here believes in you.
That's exactly right.
So we're going for it on 4th-and-down.
And the kid's shaking in his boots on the next attempt because he knows his career is on the line and he misses it the other way. He overcompensates over the first kick. It just, don't play mind games with a kicker. Just go to him when the moment is right.
Yep.
4th-and-9, David. 4th-and-9 with that offense, and I mean, listen, they did everything but score in that game. They actually put up decent numbers, if you like that sort of thing.
Can the Tribune take a deep dive into the 2019 kicking tryout? I mean, please, I got to know what went into this more than what we know right now because that was a colossal mistake. You can talk all about the quarterback, and we will.
Yes,
and we will.
We'll get into all of it.
There's a lot there, but to me. You made the wrong decision on kicker, and it has come back to haunt you. Not that you were going to bring Cody Parkey back, but if we saw a promo this week on today's show, the Eddie Pinheiro year, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised because he should be cut.
Wow.
I would cut him.
David, I mean, when the season began, we were ready to take book on how long he'd last. If he lasts beyond this week, that's an indictment on the general manager yet again. I mean, there's no kickers out there because everybody's been trying them out. And everybody's been cutting them. But I mean, if you really have to go for it on 4th-and-9, then maybe you ought to just find someone on the street.
Imagine being a defensive player on this Bears team who in 10 games, 7 of those games, you've given up 17 points or fewer and you are 4-and-6.
The Rams were without 2 of their best wide receivers. Okay. Yep. They had new guys starting on 3 spots on the offensive line.
Yes.
And Khalil Mack, for instance, did he make the stat sheet? Did he make the trip? I didn't realize that when Trey Burton went down, he took the soul of Khalil Mack with him. What the hell happened to him?
I don't know. I don't know. All I know is one time when I saw it was a 3rd down and Goff dropped back and whatever he's doing. And when every time that Jared Goff dropped back, that was an invitation for the Bears to do something good. But Khalil Mack was in coverage.
their first play of the game was a fumble.
How do you explain that? Yeah.
And they end up winning the game. They're like, I don't know, fifth play of the game or something was an interception.
This wasn't Brady versus Manning.
No.
Okay. Trubisky was barely an NFL, was hardly an NFL clinic on quarterbacking.
It was really an indictment on drafting.
Yes.
And signing.
It was.
It's a cautionary tale.
One of the national headlines was awful and terrible. Goff was awful. Trubisky was terrible.
Well, the two teams are trying to like out disappoint each other throughout the course of the season. Oh, you think you're bad? Well, I'll show you.
We're a bigger fraud.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Well, I mean, okay, we got to calm down. Tonight, you got the Chiefs and Chargers in Mexico City, Monday Night Football, and the field apparently is good, so they want to cancel
let's hope
the game.
So.
Yep. Vikings came back from down 20 at the half to beat the Broncos 27-23.
Kirk Cousins, all he does is win.
You like that?
Yeah, I do.
The Patriots, 17-10 winners over the Eagles. The Ravens pounded the Texans. And after the game, the Deshaun Watson signed his jersey over to Lamar Jackson and included the fact that Lamar Jackson's the MVP.
I think that's an easy argument to make right now. Mm. You know, after last night's or yesterday's game, between those two guys, Lamar Jackson has in the front runner seat.
Packers were on the bye, so they didn't get any farther ahead of the Bears, did they?
No.
And the Lions lost, so the Bears aren't in last place.
If you want to claim some sort of consolation prize by staying out of the basement, okay. But the Packers and Vikings seasons no longer matter in Chicago.
I'll tell you what.
It was over.
The Myles Garrett stuff came down. He's done for the year. He's appealing that. That may be a mistake. We'll get into it. The Bulls will host the Bucks tonight. Tua, I've got to mention Tua. Good God, that was horrible.
That was really hard to watch.
That was awful.
Yeah, too bad. Really difficult because
he's having hip. He's out for the year now. He's having hip surgery today in Houston.
Yeah, and they say that he'll make a full recovery, but this is now another injury, another surgery, and you just hope that he comes back. And is the player that he was.
Blackhawks won their fifth in a row, and this time a 4-1 victory over the Sabres.
There was a time there.
Youth was served.
Yes, youth was served. Kirby Dach, 2 goals. And there was a time there I wondered if the Bears would outscore the Hawks.
Oh, they barely did. Also, they got the extra field goal.
We're going to get into
their 7 points.
Kaepernick Saturday, because that was quite a circus.
Oh, that was, we'll get into all of it next. We got the 5-5. It is a Bears built for a tough Monday, and it's a sad one. I don't even know if we can call it a victory Monday.
Because it's not a victory Monday.
Well, listen.
No.
We're winners.
I know.
Let's get that straight.
All right.
They can't offend. They can't hurt us. We're still winners. Right. But somebody might tweet out that you're a loser. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
It's 5-5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5-5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Did Mitch Trubisky really hurt his hip, or did Matt Nagy make a change in quarterbacks late in the fourth quarter based on Mitch's poor performance?
I think that he really hurt his hip. I really do think he hurt his hip, because why not? If you're going to take him out, why make up an injury? So what? So you can go away from him for a few weeks? And the other thing is, anyone see Chase Daniel play? I mean, mother of God, this is not the answer. I think he hurt his hip, and I'm going to take them at their word for it. And I hope that his hip heals, because Mitch needs to play every second of the season now. It's kind of a lost season, so you need to learn something. I actually thought, and again, the bar is like, I mean, imagine if you had to somehow leap over a matchbox. That's where we're at now in measuring this guy. I thought he was all right. I mean, look, 7 points, come on. There's no excuse for it, but I thought they came out and they ran the ball, you know, high snap, run the ball out of the shotgun. Mully falls off his chair. I mean, good mother of God. And they convert a first down, though. It wasn't a 3-and-out, and that, to me, is huge progress for this offense.
The fact that we wondered, though, the fact that as people watched that game in real time, we wondered if this was a benching, underscores to me just how bad he's been. because he hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt. You wondered, well, geez, what is he doing here? He's taking him out of the game. He must have gotten as fed up as everybody watching Mitch Trubisky play quarterback. The bar is low. He was better. There were some throws that he made that were nice plays. There were some throws that he missed that hurt the Bears' offense, no question about it. But it wasn't impossible under those circumstances to think that he would be benched. It was certainly improbable. I mean, it would have been odd and unorthodox, but we're talking about Matt Nagy here, which he has defined those things this season. So I do think this. I do think he probably was hurt, and I hate to question the toughness or the pain threshold of professional athletes when we don't know things that aren't on the injury report. We don't know what happened in the course of a game. But they need to get their story straight, and I don't think they did that because, look, if Mitch hurt himself in the second quarter, as he said, and Matt Nagy wasn't aware of it at halftime, something broke down in communication there. If it happened in the third quarter or fourth quarter, whenever it did, then why was Mitch saying it was the second quarter? And if you've got a quarterback with a bad hip, don't run an option on third and one. How about that? Don't put your quarterback out there on third and one and try to make a play. So I think that moving forward, yeah, bring him back slowly. Yeah, be gingerly about it. You know what? Doesn't really matter.
Yes, the quarterback hurt his hip, and Matt Trestman made a change based on performance because he knew he hurt his hip, and he had him out there, and he wasn't performing, wasn't doing anything. He said, okay, let's get him out of there. But, yeah, you're right. Let's get the story straight for once. Can we do that? My God. He's out there saying it's the second quarter, and he was evaluated at halftime, and Nagy said it was as a few possessions before he was pulled from the game. So, Nagy, what you're telling me is you as the head coach, you did not know your quarterback was injured in the first half, and you didn't know that your quarterback was evaluated for an injury at halftime. That's what Matt Trestman was telling the world last night. And, you know, maybe the head coach should have a clue. Maybe you shouldn't find out from Dave Ragone during the game in the second half.
Rags?
Yeah, he's the one that informed him. Not a trainer. No, not that. Rags, the holdover from the John Fox era. Trubisky, yeah, it wasn't that bad. Okay, great. I saw 7 points. I get it. Receivers dropping more passes. O-line under pressure all night. Nagy, bad play caller. But again, it's now 9 times in 10 games this great Bears offense has failed to get 300 yards of total offense.
That's bad.
In the year 2019. It's all a problem.
It's all very much a problem. And Mully, you're spot on about the bar being so ridiculously low that we're actually this morning praising Trubisky for his performance last night. And I know the pick wasn't his fault, and he wasn't getting a lot from the offensive line to help him out either, but the quarterback rating 65.1. He didn't break 200 yards. He wasn't completing passes with any sort of consistency or regularity whatsoever. I'm not going to call it a good game. Maybe by default, it was one of his better games of the season, which is where we are right now, is shocking. And, you know, you guys talked about it a little bit on Friday. You know, the number one pick in the draft versus the number two pick in the draft the year after that. And this was the performance that those two put on last night. Just absolutely dreadful. Mitch was hurt, yes. I'm sure his hip wasn't feeling good. He was getting thrown around a little bit. But I think had he been playing well, he would have probably stayed in the game. I think this was partially due to, wow, we have an excuse to take him out of there right now and see if Chase Daniel can give us anything. And of course, he did not do that either. You might as well have suited up Rags and let him stand behind Cody Whitehair and handle one of his high snaps last night, because, you know, Chase Daniel wasn't sure as hell wasn't doing it, and Mitch sure as hell wasn't doing it either.
Now, nobody loves a good conspiracy theory more than me, but the issue here is communication breakdown, right? When did it happen? Was it halftime or was it the third? Because as David pointed out, that pistol play where everybody is reacting to.
Oh, God. What, okay? A terrible
short side of the field.
First of all,
one
if,
of the worst calls
hurt,
in the history
of mankind. If he's hurt, you don't call that play, number one.
Right.
Right. If he's hurt, you don't call the play. Number two, if you don't know he's hurt and you call that play, you're bad. And number three, if you're not hurt and that's the way you executed it, Mitch Trubisky, it's really, really bad. Okay. I mean, that was awful.
It's a terrible play
that
call.
That was awful.
Short
it was a terrible play
call. I
mean, but he's trying to outsmart everybody.
That's what
meaning the head coach, offensive coordinator. He's trying to, and then his quarterback lets him down like that. What I'm curious about in the picture that's all over the internet, and it's easy to freeze frame things to make it look like something, but I mean it looks like when they finally take him out of the game, that Nagy's like, "You're done." Like, it, I mean,
it, oh, Mitch viewed it as a benching. Like, it looked like he took it that
Mitch,
way.
Mitch, like his forehead and his nose are on Nagy's shoulder, like he's almost ready to weep. I mean,
and the press conference,
right? I mean, it looks like he's just like it's all just coming down upon him all at once. Like he told him, like, "Son, I'm sorry, but your mom texted and your childhood dog ran off during the game." I mean, he looks just...
He was like a little boy. He was so scared.
Defeated.
What kind of question is that?
Did the Bears defense play well enough to win? Which was more surprising, Khalil Mack not appearing in the stat sheet or Raquan Smith flying around like his rookie season again?
Well, I know which one was more disappointing. I mean, Khalil Mack was supposed to wreck this game plan. Khalil Mack was supposed to be the guy that was going to one-up Aaron Donald and be, you know, have his primetime moment. Khalil Mack is the guy in the intro, for goodness sake, upstaging Kerry Underwood. If he's that good, then he needs to back it up, or else don't share the stage with Kerry Underwood. That was a defensive effort, though, overall, even without his contributions. That was good enough to win. If you give up 17 points on the road against a Sean McVay-coached offense, I think that you should feel pretty good about what you did defensively. I don't think you feel great about it. You missed some tackles. I thought there were some breakdowns in the secondary. Eddie Jackson did not have a great night, even though he did rip the ball out of Todd Gurley's gut. That was a nice takeaway. You did get the takeaways that you were missing in the first quarter. They didn't lead to much or anything, but you did have that. Cooper Kupp got behind the defense. That's looked like a breakdown in coverage.
What was Eddie doing on that play?
You can't have that.
My God.
You can't have that. The other 51-yarder was something that was, you know, brought back because of an illegal formation. Bears get a break there. But look at the numbers, and the Rams ran 52 plays. They had 173 yards rushing. Jared Goff looked anything but the number one overall pick in the draft. 283 total yards. You did play good enough. You did get some good contributions from Roquan Smith. That was nice to see. That was a bit of a surprise. But your offense and your kicker didn't let you win.
Yeah, Danny Trevathan out, and Roquan really did step it up. I was very impressed with his performance and felt good about it, and was texting back with a friend about it, and a lot of theories floating around in our little minds, but I thought he played really well. I thought he looked like he was the way we thought he was going to play all year, and that's great. Mac, we've seen this before. Teams gear their entire game plan to stop him, and apparently they can because he did not have much impact on the game. But they did play well enough to win. The goal for any defense going into a game is to hold the opponent to 17 points. The goal for the Bears defense has now got to be to hold an opponent to 6.
Wow. For the third time this season, the Bears have allowed 17 or fewer points, and they've lost the game outright. Third time this year, 17 or fewer points, and they've lost. With that said, hell no, the defense didn't play well enough. This was supposed to be the Khalil Mack and the national stage sack party again. And he's got one sack in his last 6 games. You know, it's not all about sacks. So we know about all the forced fumbles, go back to last year and all that, and the impact, just putting pressure on the quarterback. He's not doing that. Nobody was doing that. Against a Rams offensive line that was dealing with cluster injuries, the bunch of backups out there. And they were a poor old line when they're healthy. But now you've got backups out there, and it wasn't a problem all night. And Todd Gurley, turn back the clock a little bit to a couple of years ago when he got paid. On one drive, you saw 10 yards, 9 yards, 11 yards. 133 scrimmage yards for Gurley. You knew that's what they were going to do. They're missing receiver 1, receiver 2. They only have Kupp. They have issues on the offensive line. They're going to have to be a running team. What is a good head coach? Yeah, he uses the run game.
It grasped the obvious.
Yeah, absolutely. So the more surprising thing was Mack, and the defense did not play well enough, even though they allowed only 17 points.
You know, in fairness to Matt Nagy, and he's going to get killed all day, and rightfully so, you know, David Montgomery averaged 2.2 yards carry yesterday, and the offensive line wasn't creating anything for him. They actually did attempt to run the ball a little bit. I don't think they wanted Mitch to throw it 43 times, which is what he ended up doing. They probably wanted to look something more like what Los Angeles did with Goff, where he was only 11 for 18. You don't let him go out there and chuck the ball so much so he can give the game away. I mean, they tried to establish the rush. It's just it wasn't quite working.
Pound Tariq Cohen. I got you, Kimbo. That's great.
The first
great
two,
strategy.
The first two plays of the game. Tariq
Get
Cohen
that guy
the
between
gun.
The tackles.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
That'll
there.
Fool everyone.
It's
you can't find him.
Exactly.
He's just trying to go under.
They accidentally stepped on him at one point.
I wasn't that surprised with Roquan Smith playing as well as he did. It was nice to see. I think probably we can assume now that maybe the dip in his play earlier this year was connected to whatever personal thing he was going through, which caused him to miss a game. And hopefully that's all behind him. Khalil Mack not registering a stat last night, I guess, was a little surprising, but as you guys were just saying, it's the more and more we see him play like this and not play up to his potential, the less surprising it gets, which is concerning, because he should be in his prime right now. He should be looking the way that he looked last season, the way that he looked for Oakland, and he hasn't been that guy this year. And all week long, you hear about the offensive line of the Rams and how bad it is and all these backups. And this is the game where the defensive line for the Bears finally start eating and they look like the 2018 Bears. It didn't happen. And we're seeing it more and more frequently with Mack. And it's really, really disappointing.
I mean, I'm not surprised that the defense played well enough to win. They did. And we expected Goff to be on the run when he went back to throw the ball. I mean, you knew going in what the game plan was going to be. If the Rams were going to be successful, they're going to take the ball out of Goff's hands. Number one, because he stinks. And number two, because 3/5 of their offensive line was either in a new spot or back playing again or
right.
was having their first start ever in the NFL. And you didn't do anything about it. I'm surprised about Roquan. It did look like last year. But for Khalil Mack to not even make the sheet other than number of reps and time on the field, that's unacceptable. I mean, that now
it's like a stay-at-home defenseman.
Right. You almost have to, like, rewatch that. Now I want to, when I rewatch the game, when I put myself through today's punishment, right, it's now I'm going to, like, did they move him around at all? Did he stay in one spot all night long, or did they actually move him around in front of different people? Because if they didn't, then shame on the defense. Then just shame on the coaches. You've got to notice that. He can't just be in one spot. There's got to be a matchup that he can win. They can't double team him every single place. Why couldn't he line up inside? Why does he always have? And the other thing is, why does he always have to go so far around? You know, when he does set up and they've got a tackle and a tight end, why does he have to go into another zip code to go around the tight end to try to eventually get? Because he does get close. He does put hot breath on guys. But if he didn't make this huge loop, maybe he would actually touch the guy.
You raise a lot of great questions.
Well, will Eddie Pinheiro be a Bear by the end of this week and by the end of this month, by the end of this year? Should he be?
Boy, I mean, listen, how did the Bears get eliminated last year? You look at the general manager, Ryan Tradeup, and you wonder if there was no kicker worth going after, could he not have dealt some picks and moved up? And they did not address that position, okay? They didn't address the position. They had this farcical run at it that people were making fun of them all over the place. And here we are in week 10, week 11, I guess. And everybody's laughing at him, and they had exactly what you knew was coming. Did they give up a draft pick for Pinheiro? Did they give
seventh
up a
rounder.
Seventh rounder?
Yeah.
Yeah, so let me ask you, has that kicked in? Because is there any chance you could get
that
back?
It was five
back?
Games on the
okay.
roster, I believe.
Yeah, that is really a pity, because you should have done something about that. So that actually cost you draft capital.
They don't care about seventh rounders. I mean,
they don't care about
They let Kareth White
anything.
Go to the Steelers because he was on the practice squad, and they didn't promote him. See that over the weekend?
Yeah, I saw that.
That's a bad weekend for Ryan Pace.
Joke.
I don't know if he will be a Bear by the end of this season. It sounds like he'll be a Bear by the end of this week. Matt Nagy asked four times after the game about Eddie Pinheiro's status, and four times he doubled down and said Eddie is our guy. He, you know, this is a guy in Eddie Pinheiro who last night cost the Bears a football game. You could make that argument, and I think you wouldn't be out on a limb. He is 3 for his last 7 field goal attempts. He's also missed an extra point. He did help you beat Denver. Congratulations, out of thin air. Out of thin air, you won that game with a field goal. But I don't know how much you can trust him moving forward. I don't know how much you should. If you really mean what you say about accountability, you'll have 5 kickers at Hallis Hall on Tuesday trying to find out if they're better than the guy you have, because the guy you have has cost you 2 football games.
Matt Trestman said again and again he has ultimate trust in Eddie Pinheiro. Ultimate trust. Make one kick and you're good. Ultimate trust forever. He'd rather go 4th and 9 than offense that's just about the worst, or at least bottom 5 in every category. Everything. You don't have Lamar Jackson. You don't have Patrick Mahomes. You have Mitchell Trubisky and everybody else. I mean, that was his 6th missed kick, that 2nd one. He is on pace for more missed kicks than Parkey had last year. Glad to see NBC was able to find pace up there. Hiding out. No, Pinheiro should not be here. They should have a bunch of kickers. That was one thing that was surprising in the post game to hear Nagy say, oh, no, he's here. He's our guy. Nobody's coming in.
I think he'll be here. I don't know who they're going to replace him with. Are you going to kick the tires on Elliott Frey again? Are you going to lure him away from the glitz and the glamour of the XFL?
Somebody who's kicked in temperatures lower than 40.
He's on the St. Louis Battlehawks now.
You know, the irony here is that he's supposed to miss those kicks at home. He missed them on the road.
Well, he didn't practice at the Coliseum during the week.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. He wouldn't take the chopper.
Who was the kid with the Ravens early? Vetvik? Are they gonna give him a call?
Where's he?
Joey Sly.
Give up a draft pick for him?
Vetvik.
Listen, I think Pinheiro's going to be here for the foreseeable future, unless he goes out and he's over for the rest of the year. I think they'll probably cut bait at that point. But this is just, it's deja vu, and it's horrible with the kicking situation. I mean, we thought we were past it. Did you remember after the Broncos game,
when
everybody wanted to put this kid in the Hall of Fame, and there was this dumb article on Yahoo? It's like, how Eddie Pinheiro became a folk legend of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah. Remember training camp?
Oh, my God.
Remember how much he believed it?
And Eddie?
How he hurt himself on the victory lap, didn't he?
If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you better start, because he's real.
Boy, that seems like a long time ago.
Yes, he is real, Eddie. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, what are you saying to the defense that has held opponents to this low score when you don't bring a guy in?
Right.
And is it really Matt Nagy's decision? Isn't that Ryan Pace's job? I mean, were they texting each other? How does he know they're not going to bring somebody in? And shame on them if they don't. I mean, absolutely shame on them if they don't.
And should trade up have a word with him about the play calls and the decisions, like 4th and 9?
Well, you know, I think the 4th and 9 is up for debate, Mully, because at that point, also to the point of the team, like, I think he was telling his defense, like, listen, we're not going to hand it over to Eddie. Like, let's see, maybe we can get a pass.
I don't know, man. I think he's telling America our kicker can't kick straight.
I don't think he was telling the defense or the offense.
Well, right, that's why he went for it on 4th and 9. I mean, you're saying he should have tried to kick. Both of you think he should have tried to kick.
Well, the blind squirrel offense is not going to work. Okay,
I mean, is the kicker got
Mitch's arm is almost as inaccurate as Eddie's leg.
Okay, that's fair.
The
but
blind
I mean,
squirrel offense is nuts.
I mean, of all the things that I'm upset with Matt Nagy about, going for it on 4th and 9 is probably 6th or 7th this morning.
It's a long list.
I'm not done yet. I'm gonna finish this question.
What did you make of the Colin Kaepernick workout fiasco? Who is to blame? And did Kaepernick lose his last chance?
Well, I was disappointed, and it is complicated. I think that both sides of this debate, on Kaepernick's side and on the league's side, they could find facts to support their strong feelings. My own feelings are that he made it harder for himself to take another snap in the NFL. I have a harder time envisioning him being on an NFL roster now than I did on Friday, when I found maybe just a glimmer of hope on Friday that maybe out of this circus, something good could happen. Maybe, because seeing was believing, and you had 25 scouts ready to show up. at an NFL facility to watch an NFL workout that was legitimate. All that happened was Kaepernick reinforced this notion that he will bring a circus to whatever NFL town he works. He made the circumstances around this workout overshadow the workout. It was a bigger deal that he changed it to a high school, which he had already maybe pre-orchestrated before this, and that was the news. It wasn't his throwing. It wasn't his how in shape he was. It wasn't the interviews that he convinced somebody that he could actually do make an impact on their team. Yes, the NFL contributed to this by maybe complicating things themselves, but Cap had more to gain from having a successful workout. He had more at stake from this process. The NFL has the job that Kaepernick wants. He had to make some concessions. He had to do something that, you know, maybe he didn't want to do, but they weren't unreasonable demands. He needs to play football again. I often have said he deserves an opportunity to play in the NFL. It's hypocritical to deprive him that chance, but I think all he did Saturday was come one step closer to never playing in the NFL again.
I heard Screaming Steven, and he sounded very defeated as he said it, and he said that it became obvious to him in this whole situation that Kaepernick would rather be a martyr than a quarterback in the NFL. And, you know, I don't know if that's accurate, but I do know that, you know, the unfortunate reality of the NFL is that they determine what you're doing, where you're doing it, and how you're going to go about it. And you've gone 2 years and 8 months without being able to have a tryout for a team, without being able to go in. Why wouldn't you want to show your skills? Why would you choose? And apparently this thing was in the works for 6 weeks. And, I don't know how quickly the site was or whatever. I saw a story where Jay-Z was hugely disappointed because he had a part in this thing. Yeah. And again, you know, we talked a little bit about it. These scouts flew into Atlanta. 25 teams were represented in Atlanta. They flew in order to watch practice. Many of them had scheduled flights home, and he went an hour away. So you're asking guys to spend 2 hours now getting back and forth from the airport. They had flights. They weren't going to do it. So he sent a video out to all the teams. It was just, it's just sad because the guy should be in the league. He looked pretty damn good from what I saw the workout, but who knows? And really at that point, does the NFL even care? So, it's very difficult for teams to win when you're trying to do it in a certain way, when you're trying to say, we're going to win like this, not just win, but we're going to win in this fashion. And the same thing goes on when you apply it to a player. It's not good enough to just be the quarterback of the team. You're going to do it your way. That's not how the league works.
It's not enough just to look like you have a live fastball still. It doesn't.
Yes.
You can't just look like you're athletic enough. There's a lot more that goes into playing quarterback. And he deprived himself and those teams of figuring out that.
Pity.
Why? Yeah.
When this thing was going down on Saturday, I kind of understood the way this whole thing stunk and no cameras allowed. Because if you're Colin Kaepernick, why should you trust the NFL after being blackballed for 3 years of your life? But I think both sides are to blame. And no matter what, he was done. But the one argument we have to look at Kaepernick is this was the job interview that you've been seeking. And you can't do this at a job interview. You want to work for them, right? So, I would be floored. I'd be shocked if a team ends up signing him now.
Yeah, I mean, no chance. I agree with you, Joe. I think the NFL, trusting the NFL during this process, which I don't know if he did or did not, I think that would be very foolhardy, for lack of a better term. And with the whole situation around Kaepernick and the media attention that he brings and the division between the two sides of this issue, I don't think that that a team will bring him in. I don't think that he's going to ever play in the NFL again. And I think that was probably proof. He did look really good. The arm looked good. All of his brand new Nike gear, which will be available shortly, that all looked very good as well. But I think that it was kind of a farce, kind of a dog and pony show. And I don't think that he'll be back in the league anytime soon. If he can kick, maybe Bears can bring him in for a tryout. But otherwise, I don't think so.
This is exactly why he's not in the league. Okay, all these shenanigans. That was he knew when he got on a plane from wherever he got on a plane at to go to Atlanta that he was not going to do the agreed upon workout. And because Nike wasn't going to be allowed in the facility to film a commercial. This is, you know, the only person paying him, I guess, on a regular basis after I'm assuming the lump sum that he got from the NFL is Nike. So this was all about genuflecting to his current employer, which is Nike. Okay. Does he have an arm? Sure. Does he have athletic ability? Absolutely. But as David, I believe you said, Mully, you agreed with, there is so much more to being a quarterback in the NFL. You know, what is his desire to play the game, to do everything the organization asks you to do to be the second or third quarterback on their team? He's not interested in that. He's not interested in that at all.
Saw two teams last night that could have used him.
Well, I think that's a multifaceted question.
Did the NFL get it right with an indefinite suspension for Myles Garrett? Will his appeal work or make things better?
I like the way the NFL came right out and gave him the indefinite suspension. The more that you see that tape, it's amazing to me how when I saw it again, I was shocked by it. It's that bad. He really thumps the guy in the head with his own helmet. He could have killed someone. So it didn't surprise me. The fact that they're appealing all these suspensions, the fact that he's appealing this suspension, apparently, according to the collective bargaining agreement, you cannot suspend someone indefinitely. So now he's going to go and try to make them, he's forcing them to rule. It would be wiser to wait, sit out the season, and then have several conversations with them, go through some anger management and work your way back into the league. They could rule anything, frankly. If he really, this could make it worse. They could easily leave this thing into next season. And I mean, he's in trouble here, and I don't know that this is a great idea.
I applaud as you did, Mully, the league coming out with swift action in response. There was no ambiguity there. Right. I think they treated it with the swiftness and severity it deserved. I was surprised a little bit that the backlash at Mason Rudolph. I understand that he's no angel in this, and I'm certainly not condoning anything he did. He kind of was the instigator, but he also got conked in the head with a helmet and the assault with a deadly weapon. I mean, that was a pretty – the more you watched it, the harder it was to believe this actually happened on a football field.
Crazy.
But you're right. Myles Garrett – even though there is no language in the CBA, or actually there is a clause that says you cannot be suspended indefinitely for on-field behavior, this isn't the time to push that or explore that. You need to go away for a while. You need to repair your reputation. You need to show that you are just, if in fact, a 23-year-old kid who's learning how to be, you know, mature and be a professional and all these things that people who know you well and have come out to support you, Chris Long, You see some teammates, you see some people who say this isn't who he is. Prove it over time, but you need some time. Time will be the great healer. Let it go for now. You don't want to complicate it anymore. Maybe he plays again next year. I don't think this is a lifetime ban, but I think the last six games of the season, absolutely, that's appropriate, and maybe more next season. Let's just wait and see.
Yeah, absolutely. For once, the NFL got it right. We aren't up in arms over a punishment by the league. His quarterback got it right when he was interviewed right after the game. Usually there's two sides arguing about this. I haven't heard anyone say this is completely unfair. The appeal would not make things better.
No, he should just accept the punishment, which will be the rest of this season. I'm sure he'll be ready to go right out of training camp. He'll be ready week one next year. But they had to do something kind of unprecedented here because it was such an unprecedented thing. And it wasn't just, here in the United States. I mean, media all over, even
right.
Like the
international story.
Sky Sports, yep. BBC accounts that I follow for soccer coverage were picking up on this ridiculous, crazy helmet swinging thing. So they had to step up. It'll be this season. It'll be back next season. And next time the Browns play the Steelers next year, I wonder if Mason Rudolph will be playing in that game. I think it'll be very interesting if they get on the same field again together.
Bravo, NFL. They got it right. Nice and swift, just as I had hoped. I think the only reason they're appealing it is, again, because we talked about the goofiness in the letter of the CBA. You're not allowed to have an indefinite suspension.
So they needed to give an X number of games. The NFL didn't do that. And I think that's why the appeal is being
indefinite. Is better than forever.
Correct. I mean, I would have loved forever. I mean, that's just me. That's the only way to, I mean, is it unfair? Absolutely. It's unfair if it's forever, but that's the only way to wake some people up.
All right. That is the 5 at 5, 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.